Coming up, with the trade deadline approaching, we take a look at the Charlotte Hornets and PJ Washington, the Portland Trail Blazers and Josh Hart, and a little nod to Jusuf Nurkić as well. And also, yes, Mr. Gary Trent Jr. with the Toronto Raptors. How can the Brooklyn Nets, with their limited capital, make a move? We break it all down next.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, yo.
Yes, my friends, it is the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Over there, you're going to find Doug Norrie, owner-operator of DFSR, for all your daily fantasy sports projections and rankings, quite frankly. He's going to have you covered over there. I'm Adam Arbrecht, breaking down the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast with my boy Andy Mack. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And let you know today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free today at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. And Doug, it's trade season, baby. Let's dial it in, and let's try to do it in the only way that Locked On Nets knows how to, reasonably, with setting clear expectations around what we think the Nets could actually accomplish.
The hardest time it is to stay reasonable is a trade deadline time. That is the, even free agent time. You're like, well, the money, you know, it was the contract, whatever. Even free agency, people are able to. You know, tamper down the irrational parts of their brain. Not trade season, baby. A trade season, it's like Christmas. It's like it's Christmas Eve. You're just looking at all the packages under the tree. They all should be yours, right? Like, no, for sure. there's no reason to put names on any other ones. They're all yours. Yep. You know, and you can just imagine what's inside them when you wake up the next morning.
And because they're all hits. They're all gonna be the perfect.
It's everything you ever wanted. and that is where people find themselves, I think, during trade season. I'm not here to put too many dampers on it, for sure. We've already talked about why, you know, to some degree, why we thought that this trade deadline would be a slightly tougher lift, I think, than maybe some people are imagining. And there are some other reasonable and possibly realistic things that the Nets could go out there and do. But I just know that the fans want to, I know that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear the biggest swing for the least amount going out. That is always the favorite. That's always the formula that I love come trade season.
I got Patty Mills and a second round pick for OG Anunoby. Crushed.
Sounds a little steep. Sounds a little steep for the Nets.
Before, you know what? Might be too much. Might want a little something back. Before we do dive in on, we're going to touch on, I said at the top, Portland. Also going to take a look at the Toronto Raptors, not for OG Anunoby, but for Gary Trent Jr. potentially there. And I even have another one looking down at Charlotte that I want to touch on too. But remind everybody where the Nets stand from a draft capital standpoint and what they can entice teams with.
Yeah, so they don't have tons. They sent a lot of this out in the Houston trade. They have a pick this year going into 2023. There's a swap on with Houston, but they're not going to have to put that in place, so they're not going to have to worry about that. They have some second rounders thrown in. I'm not going to go through every single one here. They have some second rounders to throw in. You know, and we've seen second rounders actually have some value around this time of year. Rui Hachimura just got traded for second rounders, right? So, like, it definitely can happen. 2024 goes to the Rockets, and that's gone. They have a swap in 25, so they'll still have their pick, and probably that will be a better pick than the Rockets, I think, just based on the trajectory, though who knows, because the big three should still be there. And then 2026 back to the Rockets, and then 2027 two firsts. So, I'm not going to go out to 2028. We're talking about like sixth and seventh graders at that point. Those, you know, the best fifth grader in the nation is the person that we can start dreaming about. But I mean, that's where that is. That's not that. That's, you know, between the swaps, which look a little worse, especially if the Nets were to bottom out, and then just like, you know, two of those seasons just not having first round picks at all. That's just not a ton to deal if you want to take a big swing, but you know, they still have some, and there's a way that there's worlds where they could still end up using them.
Yeah. And so the first one I want to take a look at is the Toronto Raptors. They're sitting there a handful of games under 500. It seems like they're in the market to be pushing the semi rebuild process, probably still holding on to Pascal Siakam, obviously holding on to Scottie Barnes, but I mentioned OG Anunoby. That's the big one. No, the Nets aren't going to be in those waters. It's going to be a haul for a team that comes to get them. But it was also reported that Gary Trent Jr., the expectations as far as a potential trade package for someone who has a player option this offseason, and so the one caveat here is Toronto is expected to keep him if they think it's likely they can retain him going into next season. So it all does come down to whether or not Gary Trent Jr. is looking at the landscape and saying, if I don't want to be here and I communicate that, then all of a sudden the market can really build for him. But it may only cost a reported first-round pick and matching salary or two good second-round picks. Now, good second-round picks, the Nets don't exactly have a ton of those available to them. But when you look at his salary, which is just at 17.5 million, the very obvious one, this was also asked to, was on the Twitter. I want to make sure by the end of the show I shout out who questioned us for this one. It basically would look like first-round pick Joe Harris. That's the very easy one-to-one matching salary. Gary Trent Jr. coming back in. There are holes into what his game is coming over to Brooklyn, but do you like it on the surface if you thought that's something that could get done?
Yeah, I mean, for Harris in the first-round pick, see, this is where it becomes close. It would seem like Trent would be a clear upgrade over Harris. I think that that's probably, you know, he's a worse 3-point shooter, but he's probably just a more dynamic player. He really is like 3-pointer or nothing. Like the rest of the stuff just isn't there for him. He's a spot up shooter, and that's kind of it. He has a time shot at volume for the Raptors, mostly because their guard situation after Van Vliet is so rough. So they've actually just like needed some spacing from him. I do wonder if like the looks would be slightly better in a situation with the Nets, although he has a pretty big long track record here of around 39% from three. So I think you know, maybe top out at 40%, something like that. Wingspan is bigger at 6'9", is bigger than the 6'5 frame. So he's got some length to probably be able to guard up a position. I think it would be an upgrade. I think a first round pick for a guy that you're going to have to re-sign because he's not going to probably opt out. He's probably going to opt out of this player option, you would think.
Right. Yes, right? Like 18. Yeah.
I think at that point, like a first round pick and for a rental is a little scary only because the Nets have so few picks at this point. Like to lose it for nothing, especially if you I don't know. This one's close. I do think it'd be an upgrade. I think from that standpoint, just like athletically, I'm getting increasingly worried about Harris here. Like, and I might be even slow on this. There might have been like real concerns before, but so I think it's definitely an upgrade. This is a really weird algebra or calculus, whatever cockamamie math you want to throw out there about like what is worth it, because the first round pick, you'd have to resign him. I don't know. This one's close.
Well, and then that is a big part of it for me. Like the idea, by the way, in a lot of these instances, if the player isn't under contract for a couple of more seasons at a minimum after this year, then it has to be Gary Trent Jr. at the right age. You can bring him back. You're going to sign him in the offseason, right? And that is why you're more willing to maybe give up a one. If it was 2 second-rounders and Joe Harris for the season rental, I'd probably sign off on it because second-round picks are, you know, relative crapshoots or hit or misses. I wouldn't mind that if you didn't have like an assurance that he was going to be here beyond this year. The other thing that I'll just say from Trent Jr.'s game standpoint, defensively, it's funny because he is a little bit bigger, so he can guard up. I actually think in some ways it's similar to Royce O'Neal in the, well, he's big, a little bit bigger than what the Nets have had, so he can defend up a little more, but he is going to struggle a little bit against the quicker guys, right? The upside here for Brooklyn is they don't have anybody in their backcourt that's really, when you walk out there saying, hey, size for size, like for like, this guy can go and match up in backcourts, and then maybe he's going to struggle a little bit when it comes to some of the quicker guards. But I would take it, and I think I would take the trade-off. Probably the big negative for me on Trent Jr. is that he also doesn't give you the thing that we've talked about for backcourt, a facilitator. That isn't really a part of his repertoire either, and that's probably something I want. It's just interesting to think about how he fits in this moment and then how he would fit potentially long-term, because I would look at him as someone you would want around beyond this year.
Yeah. So this is, you know, I feel like we're on season whatever of just like wondering around the fit. I think the last time we didn't really wonder about the fit was the very brief time that Harden, Katie and Kyrie were all playing together. It was like, oh, this fits perfect. Right. Like this is perfect. And then since then it's been kind of just one big question mark around like what the best combination of guys that they have is. And so I think this is always going to be the thing. Like would a guy like
Trent, frankly, just an upgrade should be the goal, right? It's just to be upgrade and just
like would Gary Trent pair well with Ben Simmons? I'm like the best version of Simmons. Definitely.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, that's a good point. Like, and so because like a guy like Simmons who's distributing and can get into the lane and find open shooters and stuff like that, like, and create lanes, like, yeah, Gary Trent could really thrive. I think, like, you know, if you watch Toronto, outside of the times the Nets have played them, having watched Toronto like a decent amount this season, it's like a slog, man. Like, their offense is non-existent. Like, they have no real creators. It's just like a bunch of – it's Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent, and a bunch of power forwards, like, just kind of clogging everything up. And they're, like, all fine and good players. But I do think, like, the dynamics of the offense would look a lot better with him in a different system. And the Nets could definitely be one of those systems, but like the Nets are remaining big question marks around what this will ultimately look like also, because we've seen very limited sample size of that too, which is what makes this thing really always so difficult.
Yeah, and that's why coming up here in a second, we'll flip the script a little bit, look over at Portland, Yusuf Nurkic, as well as Josh Hart. Separate deals, can't get them all, but another way where the Nets have maybe a low-cost, relatively speaking, avenue to improve this roster.
All right, before we do that, I'm going to tell you about our friends over at LinkedIn. If you are a small business owner or a hiring manager, you know the success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. So you got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have skills. And the great news about LinkedIn, like around the trade deadline, you're not trading someone out. Like with LinkedIn, you don't have to send out one of your current good employees and to bring in another employee. No, there's no trade season on LinkedIn. You're just bringing in the good ones. Like, this is why the Nets need to use LinkedIn. We're just bringing in the qualified candidates. We don't have to send anything out with LinkedIn. That's where they got you hooked up to be able to do all of this, help you with all of this hiring. Helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They're going to go through 875 million member profiles. Just, there's so many zeros in there, I can't even count it. You're going to put that post in front of the most qualified candidates. Makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on the job qualifications, all on one platform. If you want to meet the goals in 2023, you have to find the right team members. You have to be able to make that everything's churning along, making sure everything's churning along correctly. I got there. Why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so let's turn our attention over to Portland. And we've already had discussions around Naz Reid and the Timberwolves. And yes, everyone's watching that. But he's kind of a name that's getting a lot of buzz as we get towards the deadline, which can make it, I think, potentially trickier for the Nets to get in on that conversation. But it was reported, according to Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, that the Blazers are looking to extend a deal for Jeremy Grant, who is going to be currently set to become a free agent this summer. So it seems like they like the pairing of him with Damian Lillard and trying to maybe reshape this core a little bit. And that means that they are willing to be interested in trading away Yusuf Nurkic or Josh Hart, quoted as saying, "Portland has given rival teams the impression that the Blazers are open to discussing the majority of their players, particularly Josh Hart and Yusuf Nurkic, as the franchise remains committed to building a playoff contender around Lillard." Brief aside, should the Portland Trailblazers be committed to building a playoff contender around Damian Lillard? Or should they? I mean, it's probably their own darn fault. Like, Dame Lillard is a great player, but it's never worked. And it just doesn't seem
well. I mean, they're going to owe him $63 million in 2026. So they might as well do something. I don't know. Like,
anyway, on the trade side, it's one of those things where I'm like, boy, Dame Lillard, don't you wish he was?
You know what, though? I will say real quick about that. I'll say just this, a 1 second Dame Lillard thing. This is one of those interesting situations about like what your goals for the franchise is, because if your goal is to like have long lasting superstar talent that is like fully entrenched in the community and is like among the best role models you can have, and it's just hard to win the championship anyway, but being good with like this guy who Portland absolutely loves is the goal, then they've done it right. Like, so if not everyone can win the championship, and you want to like have guys that people love to root for, and they're just going to be there on their team, and you just do your best to like try to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, Portland has done that. So it's hard to fault them for that part of it. Even if like, maybe that's not the best guy to give all the money to, as great as he is. Right. But like, I don't know. It's hard to fault it when everyone in Portland signed off on in the whole city signed off on bringing him back forever. So anyway, this is not part and parcel of the Nets though.
No, I love it and appreciate the loyalty that he's shown back there. Also, $63 million. But
easy to show loyalty when you're making $63 million at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's always been my
But I'll tell you, you know, though, I mean, not everyone does. I mean,
like, no, that's true. You
know, not everyone. No one. There's many, and the Nets have an example of this. Many guys stop caring about that contract when things start not looking great. So yep.
So now recently, I think just before this past season, they extended Nurkic on a contract, which will run through. So his contract has him through 2025, making 15.6 this year, and then it escalates 16.8, 18.1, and then 19.3. 28 years old, so you're talking about taking him through being 32. The things that I like about him is, again, same thing. They're talking about a first-round pick. Now, Portland might like to get some younger players back. You get into those difficult waters of saying, hey, does Cam Thomas excite you? And the Nets don't necessarily have that type of capital. But even if you are trying to build a playoff contender, whether it's a Joe Harris, whether it's a Seth Curry, you can sell them on adding more perimeter shooting to their roster, certainly. The thing I like about Nurkic right now is that in this past season, which wasn't the case for him in recent years, he's only taking just over 2 3-pointers a game. But he's knocking him down at 39%. He hasn't extended or used that range in his career before. The idea that you can bring in a player that is not that great defensively, but does give you more size, that doesn't perfectly fit into the transition, get out and run kind of game for you, but can stretch the defenses. Like, I do like introducing a different dynamic at that position while still giving you some size and some rebounding. What say you on Jusuf Nurkić?
Yeah, I'm not interested in this for the Nets, I don't think. I don't want to, you know, okay. So the thing with the Nets is they already have so many weird guys in terms of fit.
Like that
adding that adding guys who don't have more flexibility around fit is always just going to make things harder, not easy. I mean, we're going to talk about another guy who actually goes the other direction here on their roster, but like Nurkic, to me, it's really hard for the Nets to add guys who are self-selecting and who they can already play with, yeah. Right? And like, and I think that the Nets just have too many guys like that. I'm a little concerned with the injury stuff with Nurkić too. He's been relatively healthy this year. Like, he's played in 45 of the 56 games, so like, it's going okay. Although he did sit out last game, and maybe he's questionable going into Friday. I have to look, but he definitely was scratched last game. I just get a little wired. Like, so a big guy, some injury stuff, and 4 more years of the contract. I think that alone would probably turn me off to it, right? Like, and they just have a center that's in Claxton who doesn't do the same things as Nurkić, but does some things way better, right? And then some things worse. You know, maybe the stretching the floor and stuff. So I think this is a pretty hard no for me. I don't think this would excite me really, this move, but maybe the next guy would.
Yeah, and I think it's funny too, because we were talking before we started that. Nurkić, I'm always dreaming on. Like, I've always liked him from afar. And then you drill down on the numbers and you look at the defensive rating and you go, there's probably a few more holes than you maybe realize.
It's really just like a really big dude that's like, has not really played a full season since like 2019. Like, I don't know. That alone, I think, would worry me when you're looking at paying him $20 million in 4 years from now.
You know,
like,
what it reminds me of? And these guys are not remotely the same. It's not a one-to-one thing. But when the Nets, when Brooke Lopez, when they started extending out his shot and giving him the three-point shot and then traded him away, like, this feels like that type of thing. Hey, a big guy, little lumbering, little stiff. But if he starts to do this thing more as his career extends towards his 30s, then all of a sudden he's more valuable. Doesn't mean it fits in this iteration of the Nets, but that is also, I think, a part of it too, where I'm like, how do we get back one of those type of guys, which is completely different defensively as well. That being the case, let's take a brief pause and then tap into that other name, which is Josh Hart, and certainly offers more versatility, as Doug pointed out, for this Brooklyn Nets squad.
All right, we're really excited to tell you about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, the number one sports book in America. That's FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel. That's America's number one sports book. If you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. So many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Right now, you download the FanDuel app so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, you go to FanDuel Sportsbook right now. I've been saying this, KC plus 1.5. I still like that. And by the way, when you go into this too, when you go into the more wagers part of FanDuel, you're just going to find literally like every single thing that could ever happen in the Super Bowl is available here in the FanDuel Sports app, like passing props, receiving props, rushing props, defensive props. I haven't gotten all the way into the anthem length yet, but we're going to get there probably before it's all said and done over at FanDuel Sportsbook. The FanDuel Sportsbook, safe, secure, super easy to use. Best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. Join today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Okay, so staying with the Blazers for a minute here, and Josh Hart. This again, Gary Trent Jr., 6'5 with a wingspan. Here's Josh Hart, 6'5. Gives you more length in the backcourt. The only thing that discourages me is that his three-point shooting, he shied away from that a lot this year. He's taking over four less shots from beyond the arc, just two attempts per game with Portland this season, and only knocking down at a little under 32%. But he's a guy that if you want to be able to use him in different ways on this team, this makes a lot more sense, especially from a backcourt standpoint.
Yeah, like, okay, so the fit is way better. 6'9 wingspan, can defend multiple positions, really good rebounder. The rebounding numbers in the beginning of the season were insane, and then they kind of tailed off. They've kind of tailed off a little bit more when Nurkic came back around, and just It was going to be hard to keep up like these double-digit numbers. That being said, he's still over 8 rebounds a game. He rebounds the position very well. That would actually be an excellent move for the Nets. I mean, the Nets could really use just other guys to like be able to sniff out rebounds. Like, this has not been one of their core strengths here. I think we thought the Simmons piece was going to be a lot better here at times in this. It has not been all the time. So,
and six on the defensive end, 6 rebounds averaging per game. So he's doing the work.
Yeah, yeah, he's awesome. He's a really good like pound for pound rebounder. Like, yeah. That's not in question. So I think that from a fit standpoint, this would actually work in a lot of different ways. He again is the kind of guy that I could see the 3-point shooting improving on this team as opposed to a team, like the Blazers. It's always going to be hard to get usage in on a team, really any of these teams, when you share the court with Lillard and then to some degree Anthony Simons and then also Jeremy Grant. Shots are going to be hard to come by. Now, that's the case for the Nets too. Like, they have higher usage guys, although they have one no usage guy in Simmons also. So like, there are shots available. We've seen some of the 3-point shooter and spacers for the Nets get good looks when things are clicking right. So I think you'd probably see the efficiency for him go up. I don't know if the volume would go up like crazy, but for his career 35% 3-point shooter, not amazing.
Sure.
Would offer a few pieces that are like a little bit better than what they have now. He can be on the ball. He's not a shot creator, but he can be on the ball more than guys like Harris and Curry. Maybe not Curry, but like, he can get to the basket. Like, he's done this at other stops along the way. Like, it's not, again, Portland's not a perfect place to showcase everything because you have, like, you have these two guys in the backcourt that are just going to have the ball a lot, but he has it in his bag. Like, he played like mini point guardish at times in New Orleans. Before he left there, it was like sort of, it's like, it was similar to what you see the Nets running sometimes now with Royce O'Neal, like where Royce O'Neal is like not the point guard, but he is bringing the ball up the court, 'cause they're going to run like some kind of like mini horns action or like pistol because they want to get the, like a Kyrie into a better spot, like something like that would be something like Josh Hart could do.
And it's funny too, because if you think about his numbers and saying it took a dip in Portland, you mentioned Royce, he's now taking nearly 2 more 3-point attempts per game than he ever has at any point in his career. And it's been a steady build for him, but it took a jump, taking 4 last year with Utah, taking 5.7, nearly 6 now with the Nets. So you can think about, to your point, Hart kind of taking a little bit of a volume jump there when he gets into this type of system that the Nets are running. Quickly on, before I wanted to mention Charlotte here and PJ Washington, but when it comes to making trades, so we talked about Gary Trent Jr. and how with his salary, well, Joe Harris is the very easy one-to-one. Are there other guys? Because an example like this, if you want to throw in a pick, if that's what it takes, great. But if you could say, we'll give you a Seth Curry and a young Cam Thomas and maybe save a first-round pick, maybe just a later second-round pick, whatever it may look like, would you be willing to do that to make salaries match as opposed to Joe Harris? Because I agree with you. We're late to the party on where the state of Joe's game is. But also, I'd prefer the team to continue to remain bigger whenever possible, right? And I just wonder about the equal swap out of size and then obviously changing the skill set.
Just real quick, like you're saying, send out Curry and someone young for Josh Hart. I just need to clarify.
Yeah, yeah.
Here.
Like if that's what, and that's. Well,
I would do that. Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I would definitely do that. Yeah,
yeah. Because I think it's.
I don't think actually don't think the do I don't think the Blazers would do it, right? Like unless they were just it was an expiring contract and they were. I mean, Hart's a he's got a. He's got a player option for next season. He probably declines his player option at 12.9, mm-hmm. like 13,000. That would be a guy that I'd be interested in, like the Nets re-signing too. Like, yep. I think that like there's a world where this works out. Like this could have, like, this is just the kind of guy. I don't know if you're buying low on him because I don't think he's like his stock's super low. The stats are down, but I don't think people are like confused about what he does. Right. So I don't think like this is like necessarily a value down guy just because the numbers are down. I think most people understand that it's going to be hard to maintain like some of the scoring numbers that he had had in the past on this team. Right. So, but at 27, like, would you want to like try to have this guy and be able to bring him back? I think that's just, this is kind of like just the kind of guy to probably take a risk on. And I don't even think it's a risk. I think this is the kind of guy to try to get something done. I think the price would be higher than that for sure. Mm-hmm. But, because I could see like other contenders wanting to maybe think about slotting him in here if he was really on the market, but maybe I'm a little higher on him than I should be. I'm not sure. Yes, I think this would be a good fit.
Well, you know, it's almost funny. Remember Royce O'Neal? Sean Marks sent out a first round pick to get Royce O'Neal. Now it wasn't at the deadline, so there wasn't a clamoring for players. But at the time, and maybe even now, we say, is that the right price point? But he's a guy that's fit in and certainly elevated his skill set inside of the Nets system, and maybe. If Hart is viewed a little bit less favorably around the league, the Nets can steal something there. The other one I just wanted to touch on was PJ Washington down in Charlotte. This guy feels more like the things that Nurkic isn't in his game. Washington feels like he does slot in much more favorably to be a short-term and long-term piece that could be a contributor. 24 years old again. So one of the themes that I do like is trying to get guys that are on the younger side so that you feel like beyond this season, they can provide something for you. He's a career 37% shooter from beyond the arc. So you can stretch the floor a little bit, can play him down to the, you know, the 4-5 role, swap him around inside of the rotations as well. Good rebounder. Like this feels like a guy that you might be buying just low on and then actually getting the better value on him 2-3 years from now, assuming that you keep him around.
Okay, so it's funny about this. This is actually less about PJ Washington and whatever. PJ Washington is fine,
yeah.
Right? I think like he's not a phenomenal defender. But what I do like about guys like this is that Charlotte sucks so bad that there's like a good chance you just have no idea how good any of these guys are because the team is such a wreck. Like the team is such a wreck. The coaching and the front off. I mean, Clifford's fine. The coaching's been meh. The front office is clueless. Like they just, there's no player development ever.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just like, we kind of luck box into some guys and they end up looking good on paper, like Miles Bridges. And like, mm-hmm. you know, they just take a ton of shots. So the stats look great. The team stinks. Like, so I think from that standpoint, I would take risks on guys like in Charlotte because I just think there's a chance you just have like kind of no idea what they can do because Charlotte has no idea what it's doing. Right. So like, and this, the like, actually, this is like the opposite of the Josh Hart thing. Like, I think the Blazers, is it all fitting together? No. Do I think they're a bad organization? No. Like they've been able to develop some players. I think the Shaedon Sharpe draft pick was pretty sharp. Like they've done some smart things here. Even like signing Hart, like trading for Grant. I think those were fine moves. Like, I think those were fine moves centered around trying to like make it work around Dame. While I think that core philosophy was wrong, what they've done since is like they tried, like they developed Anthony Simons pretty well. Like they've done a lot of good things. Charlotte is such a wreck that I do believe like they don't even have any idea like who's good and who's not. And right. So I think from that standpoint, I would take a flyer. Because I wouldn't actually trust everything that he's shown in this version of him.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't like, I think there's some chance we just haven't seen. Like, they play Mason Plumlee like 33 minutes a game. Like, what? No other team in the league would do this. Like,
right.
So, like, this is like, this is what I mean about Charlotte. And I would take anyone young and maybe showed anything there. Because it's just, and it's mostly just because I think so low of that overall franchise.
I think so little of what that organization is.
Does that make sense, though?
Like, no, that makes sense. No, listen, there's plenty of examples of it. You know, it's funny. You know, the Pelicans, once upon a time, pre Anthony Davis trade and getting into young guys, it was always like they have a lot of young talent there, but they always suck. Like, what is it? And, you know, more often than not, I would, like you're saying, hang it on. Well, it's bad coaching. It's bad development, poorly run, don't know how to use these guys, because it's really hard to continue to have talent coming into your organization and seemingly never get better. And I don't mean being a playoff team, whatever, but like just being competitive. And Charlotte is not. There was like one glimmer of a hope once upon a time, a couple seasons ago.
They're terrible. They're the worst. They're the worst organization in basketball. Like they're, it's like, I don't think it's even close. Like they're,
you think maybe
cheap. Like I didn't think this was going to turn into like a Charlotte bashing thing, but like they were supposed to hire Kenny Atkinson and he was like, yeah, I'm going to come there. And then they did something like they didn't want to spend on his assistants or something weird happened. And he was like, no, he was like, forget it. I'll be the assistant coach of the Warriors. Like, this is what I mean. Like, these are such bad signals. They brought back, Steve Clifford had left two seasons ago. He was with the Nets as a consultant and went back there. He's fine. No one wanted to coach the team. Like, the organization is so bad. I'm actually, last thing about them, I hope so badly that Victor Wembanyama does not land there.
Yeah.
Like, of all the team, any other situation, like, let anyone else get the first pick. Please do not let him land there. It's just where, it's just such a bad situation. They're so bad. Like,
yeah,
every wrong decision, like, the contracts stink. They make the choices on the wrong guys. Like, they should trade Rozier this year. They're not going to. Anyway, whatever.
You're 100% correct. And just to tie a bow on PJ Washington, he's making 5.8 this year. It's the last year of his deal. Low cost, potentially. Some of these guys, by the way, in some of these instances, and beyond even the players that we mentioned here, the young guys specifically, the Nets can gain the bird rights on some of these players, which makes a big difference to the offseason and how you approach retaining them or what that looks like. So there is kind of like there's these other layers to what they could accomplish potentially depending on who they're targeting. Some of these guys I like. I'm concerned that Naz Reid is already starting to get priced out of the Nets range. It's why I'm trying to bring up other players they could look at. And there are some guys maybe next week before the deadline. Specific, I just mentioned Detroit being a somewhat bad team. A big problem they have is so many young players, it's hard to discern which ones you should be hanging on to. There is a particular guy that I wouldn't hate the Nets maybe taking a flyer on if he became available as well. The bottom line is we gave you four names, maybe three really, because the Nurkic one I was just kind of curious about. Three names, though, all that could reasonably improve this team. And I think two of which, if you had to pick one, is Josh Hart your guy out of what we discussed today? Does Josh Hart feel like the easy trigger to pull?
I mean, if all the prices were the same, yeah. Like, I'm always, I know you hate when I answer questions like this, and so does everyone that's listening, because I'm like, well, that's the wrong question, because what you should be asking
let's put it this way.
Hart, I think, would be the best version, yes.
I'll put it the right way. The price is probably going to be, let's say that it's Hart and a second round pick, just to have a comp, Gary Trent Jr. and a first round pick, regardless of other players, whatever. Which would you go with Hart then in that instance?
Yeah, like I always actually think if those packages, if the packages were all the same, I would go Hart, right? Like, is that the better way to think about it? Like, I think that's where I would land. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate the youth of Gary Trent Jr., but I also think, unlike Charlotte, we'll get out of here. Unlike Charlotte, Toronto is so well run as an organization that I worry sometimes about players getting over elevated in terms of where their skill talent is. And you actually may get less return on those investments, unless you're talking about like a Fred Van
Fleet. I fully talked myself into the PJ Washington just as an anti Hornets thing. Like, I think that's
sold. Why? Because I don't trust them.
Like, let's just go see what else the Hornets have that they're misusing and not playing and like doing everything wrong with, right? Like, there's got to be other guys. Like, I'm sure there are. Oh, they stink at drafting too. Okay, we're going to get out of here. I almost said that something that was not this podcast. All right, we're going to make sure you subscribe over on YouTube. Locked On Nets YouTube, making the push toward 5,000. Subscribers, be part of that group. We're going to get there in the next month or two. I really appreciate everyone that's jumped on. We're going to be coming live to you after games as well. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On Nets YouTube.
If you make a deal with a fool, don't be surprised when they act foolishly. Jeffrey Archer.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.